The Planter's Place podcast is brought to you by Osmocote, the planter's plant food.
Probably even more than robins, flies are a sign of spring. I'm Amy Grisak, a garden writer in Great Falls, Montana, and the pest patrol expert for PlantersPlace.com. And even though we might be excited to see a fly in the late winter, early spring, I want to talk to you about what we can do early in the season so we don't have an onslaught of flies by late summer. I never thought I'd be happy to see a fly, but I was pretty thrilled when one was buzzing around the living room this morning. I'm sure I'm not going to feel like this for long, so I thought it was a good opportunity to discuss ways to minimize the fly populations around the garden and around animals we might have by using a few techniques in the spring. First off, stay dry as much as possible. I know this is easier said than done, especially considering the immense amount of snow and water many of us have had, and some still have, over the winter. At the moment, we have mud everywhere. The best I can do around the house is to drain it away from areas where it pools up, allowing it to drain and evaporate. At the barn, it's a little more difficult since there's nowhere for it to go. I am raking out damp hay, because my old horse doesn't eat it all, and tossing it outside so the area can dry better. And I'll sprinkle diatomaceous earth over the area to reduce the number of potential fly larvae. As in the garden, the microscopic fossilized remains of the ancient sea animals is so sharp, it tears through the sensitive exterior of many insects. Fewer maggots means fewer flies. Cover your compost pile. Several years ago, we helped a friend with a little yard and garden work in the spring, and one of the highlights for the boys was the maggots in her compost pile. They still refer to her as the maggot lady in the most positive light imaginable. While maggots might be thrilling to a couple of young boys, most of us want to steer clear of such a backyard feature. The easiest way to head off this issue is to cover your compost pile to prevent the flies from reaching this perfect environment. Plus, it'll help cook your compost faster with the additional heat brought to the process. If you really want to keep these tasty edibles out of reach of the fly populations, an option to keep composting without feeding the flies is to bury your kitchen scraps. Dig a hole roughly a foot deep and bury it. Outside of citrus and banana peels, and of course you don't want to add meat or dairy products, the bulk of it breaks down quickly and doesn't draw in flies at all. Thirdly, look into fly predators. If you live with livestock, including chickens, the manure is a natural buffet for flies and can definitely increase their populations later in the season. Just like encouraging and sometimes bringing in predators in the garden to feast upon pests that plague us, you can use fly predators, which can be purchased online, that prey upon the larvae long before they have a chance to develop into an adult. It's best to start early in the season, applying the natural fly predators to keep check on the population. Also, keep in mind that frequent, consistent applications are more effective than dumping the fly parasites into a manure pile, chicken pen, or compost pile all at once. Apply it every week or at least every other week throughout the season. Flies aren't fun in the long run, even if I'm happy to see one after such a long winter. Stay dry, sprinkle the diatomaceous earth, and bring in predators to do your best to keep them in check so you're not experiencing flies at biblical levels by the end of the summer. If you'd like to learn more ways to keep a handle on the pests that might be bugging you in the garden, visit us at plantersplace.com.
To learn more from our gardening experts, join the community at plantersplace.com. And be sure to like Osmocote Plant Food on Facebook. Thanks for tuning in to the Planter's Place podcast.